lot of the focus on government acquisitions now is on source selection and acquisition strategy. Less attention goes to managing the contract on the back end. Steve Kelman's professor of public management at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, former administrator of federal procurement policy, and he writes that focus may be getting it backwards. Steve, it's great to talk to you as always. First of all, you've been on a little bit of a respite and taking care of yourself, and I am very, very pleased that you're writing again, and it's wonderful to have you back on the program. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate your saying that, Francis. I feel fantastic to be back. It's wonderful to be back.
That is great news. You looked at an issue that a lot of folks have talked about, not many people have done much about, and that's change orders and managing the back end of a contract. How did this get onto your radar screen to write about?
Good question. So I was being interviewed by the Volcker Alliance for a project they're working on where they're interviewing a bunch of contracting experts about what kinds of competencies are necessary for the government procurement workforce. And so I was one of the people interviewed, and one of the competencies I listed was the ability successfully to manage change orders or contract modifications on contracts. And the reason I said that was that for any sort of major contract, this is a crucial part of the life of a contract. I mean, often these contracts, after a number of years, there are so many modifications you can hardly recognize the original contract. And how good a deal the government gets, how good a deal the agency gets, depends on, you know, things like, do they unnecessarily loosen the original requirements on the contract? How are the change orders priced? A lot of times people talk about, you know, buying in and getting well. So originally the prices are very aggressive, but then they become less aggressive. There are a whole bunch of issues there, and it's a very important practical part of the life of the government contracting process. But what I was surprised when I mentioned this as one of the skills, and the gentleman who was interviewing me said, you know, Steve, that's interesting. You are the first person we've interviewed who's mentioned this as a skill. And that sort of took me aback. And it took me aback, Francis, because I think, as you suggested, it reflects a real imbalance in the culture and training and attention in the contracting process, with a lot of attention and courses and media space to, you know, how do you select the contractor, bid protests, all sorts of stuff like that, much less attention to what happens afterwards. You sort of, I mean, actually last week we saw with the end of the fiscal year, you saw an annual, you know, case study of that with the, you know, the rush to, as they say, get money out the door. That was all, you know, are you signing the contract, not what happens after you sign the contract.
So the back end of this, Steve, what does good management of that look like? What are those skills that you mentioned in this conversation? And a shout out to Raj Sharma of Sensio, who conducted this interview, and you're writing about it on FCW. We have a link to your blog post at federalnewsradio.com. What does that skill set look like, though, among people who will manage the back end of the contracts well? Since it doesn't sound like we've really developed that skill set.
Right. So I think the big picture of the skill set, I think, is that you need some subject matter expertise in the subject of the contract, or not more than some. You need a decent amount of subject matter expertise. You know, if you look in the private sector, you know, commercial companies contracting with other commercial companies, if you are a financial services company doing a major IT development contract, you would never for a moment consider having a person manage that contract who is not a real good IT technical expert. If you're managing a contract for, you know, a sort of contract manufacturers who are manufacturing subsystems or even entire, you know, entire products, you know, for computer hardware, you would never think of having a person who's not an expert on that technology managing that contract. So I think, and the reason is that if they don't have enough subject matter expertise, they can't really basically judge what the contractor is saying to them. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Are they blowing smoke in our eyes? Are they making good points? You need some expertise to be able to judge that. So I think, you know, fundamentally you need that, and I think fundamentally the government short of that. You also need things like negotiation skills and stuff like that. But I think the big shortage in the government is in subject matter expertise.
I'll give you credit for being consistent, Steve. You've been talking about the need for contracting officers and contract managers to have a higher level of subject matter expertise, technical expertise, in the areas in which they're operating for at least the 10 years that I've known you or so.
Well, I'm moving from just being interested in, I don't want to say obsessed, that may be too psychological. I don't like to think of myself as an obsessive person, but I guess what I've come to recently is at least wanting to make a suggestion, and this is a controversial suggestion, that at the end of the day, we may not be able to solve this problem unless we actually bring a somewhat larger proportion of the work in-house. That you can't be a smart buyer unless you have people who have enough doing experience. Now, I don't want to, like, by any means, or even come close to bring everything in-house, and there are a lot of challenges with that. But I'm more and more trying to get, or not, I've decided I want to get out there for debate and discussion, and I realize it's controversial, the idea there may need to be some work that is currently contracted brought in-house, mainly to give the government the skills so it can manage contracts.
How much of this revolves around the kinds of resources that are being devoted currently to investing in contract managers and COs?
Well, this is going to, I'm not a contract manager myself, so it's not huge. It's not simply self-serving. Obviously, people in the contracting business think it's not getting enough resources. But I also think that a lot of independent experts and third-party people who don't have a vested interest in getting more resources into contracting, we're spending contract spending is going down. Some of it is $450 billion. It seems to me that some additional investments in having a good quality workforce that can be a smart buyer is almost certainly has to be money well spent. By the way, since I wrote the blog, I came up with another possible idea that I'm putting out on your show for the first time, that I also want to get into discussion. It may actually be less controversial, which is saying, there's something called personal services contracting, which is normally illegal. It basically involves a situation where the government is allowed to directly direct the efforts of a contractor personnel. You can say, I want you to do this now, I want you to do that now, rather than indirectly influencing it through a contract with an organization. That's called personal services contracting. I am wondering whether, and this has sort of to some extent been on the agenda for a while, but not specifically in the area of contract management. I'm going to try to put out there, and so watch my blog, I'm probably write about this in a while, the idea that we maybe ought to amend the statute to allowing for contract management, allowing personal service contracts. And the idea behind that would be that you could then hire people who already have these skills. You'd require that as a skill set to get this personal services contract. Once you've hired them, they'd be much closer in reality. They're not employees, they're personal service contractors, but they're much closer to employees. The government manager can sort of direct their work on an everyday basis much more than you're allowed to in a contract or you're supposed to in a contract.
It's an interesting concept, Steve, and it will be terrific to see what the dialogue, what the feedback looks like surrounding that. And I am just as pleased as I can be that you're back in the game, my friend.
Thank you, Francis. Thanks for having me. I look forward to coming on again soon.